Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's a mess for drivers in eastern Wake County. A crash on I-87 is causing nearly hour-long delays. We'll tell you how to get around it this morning.
And a cold front swept through overnight. That's opened the door to colder air that will come in today and bring us some freezing temperatures tonight. I'll show you what it will feel like where you are.
Also today, a wrongful death lawsuit is being filed on behalf of the family of a Raleigh man who died after police officers shocked him with a taser. The legal challenge civil rights attorney Ben Crump is bringing in on Darryl Williams' death.
And it's time to start filling out those NCAA tournament brackets. We'll break down the matchups for both men's and women's teams so you can get in on the madness. It is madness. Everybody's super excited about it. We'll get you caught up on that. Thanks for joining us on your Monday. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Great to have you along here. The options are endless for your bracket. Start in it.
I'm going to have to get some advice from you, I think.
I don't know. Yeah. Judging by past years, I'm not sure that would help much. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with advice on how we tackle this freeze warning.
Yeah, so the freeze warning is in effect for tonight for Lee County and Moore County. We're not likely to see freezing temperatures in our eastern counties, but we'll probably see them in our northern counties. However, the growing season hasn't begun there. And if that sounds confusing, just in a few minutes, I'll walk you through what that means exactly. But we can take a look at the temperatures. 31 in Roxborough and South Hill, 33 in Durham, 33 Southern Pines, 31 in Sanford. So those are the areas more likely to see freezing temperatures tonight, and then from Raleigh eastward, more likely to be in the mid-30s. We take a live look at Warrenton right now, and you can see just some cloud cover there, a little sun trying to peek through. 53 is our current temperature. Our wind is out of the north at 5 miles per hour, and we have some mid-40s up near the Virginia line. Elsewhere, we're looking at temperatures mainly in the mid-50s. Breezy today. We'll see gusts out of the north at about 15 to 20 miles per hour, and we also have a chance of a few showers overnight tonight. We're dry for the most part through today with a mix of sun and clouds. But starting at around 8 o'clock, some patchy light rain will work its way across the viewing area and out of here by midnight. Then, after that, the temperatures will start to fall. We won't see the freezing temperatures while the rain is falling, so it'll be just liquid for us this evening. And then it turns colder. Temperatures this afternoon will be in the upper 50s, 15 degrees colder than it was yesterday. So big changes happening today. We do have one 70-degree day in our seven-day forecast. I'll show you when coming up. Eric?
Elizabeth, we're continuing to keep our eyes on this mess right here, this crash on I-87 near New Hope Road. This is going to be causing you some major issues if you're coming in from Wendell, Knightdale, Zebulon, anywhere out east. Taking a live look right now on the traffic cam, you can see a Raleigh police vehicle down there, one of the cars down there as well. Looking 5 miles up the road from this crashing, you can see the backups here. This has been causing major delays. I want to send you up to Sky 5 right now as well. We've got them flying live overhead. You see that right here, on this side. One of the other vehicles involved, significant damage to the front end. Those doors open, airbags deployed. Raleigh police out there trying to keep everybody safe. This is going to be causing about an hour's worth of delay if you're headed in from Knightdale. The best way to get around it is going to be to head up to 64 Business. That is going to be the best route there. You see those delays looking a little bit better, only 34 minutes now, but 64 Business is going to be your best bet. That'll save you about 10 minutes this morning.
I'm Nick Perlin in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker in Johnston County, where deputies blocked off this stretch of Bear Oak Drive in Smithfield to investigate a crime at this home. Deputies tell me they've been here since around 9:30 last night. Investigators used cameras to snap pictures of the scene. EMS and firefighters are also helping with the investigation. We're working to learn more from the Johnston County Sheriff's Office about what happened here. When we have that information, we will pass it along. In the WRAL Breaking News Tracker, I'm Nick Perlin, reporting in Johnston County.
Take a look at this. Fire and water everywhere as crews work to put out the flames at a home in Moore County. This video was captured by the WRAL Breaking News Tracker shortly after 1 a.m. on Pine Lake Drive in Whispering Pines. Firefighters worked to put out those hot spots that were still there after that large fire was knocked down. The backside of this one-story home was heavily damaged there. The Red Cross showed up to help those folks who were knocked out of the house because of the fire.
And happening today, prominent civil rights attorney Ben Crump will be in Raleigh to file a wrongful death lawsuit on behalf of the family of Daryl Tyree Williams. Williams was shocked with a police taser outside a Raleigh sweepstakes parlor last January. His cause of death is listed as sudden cardiac arrest. Williams yelled to police that he had a heart condition and a taser was used against him again after that. The autopsy also lists cocaine intoxication, physical exertion, and the use of a taser as factors in his death. Six officers were put on administrative leave, but none of them faced charges. The lawsuit names the city of Raleigh, the chief of Raleigh police, and the officers involved in Williams' death as defendants.
Attorneys for the man accused of killing Alicia Watts will call for his release today. They say there's just not enough evidence to keep James Dunmore locked up. WRL's Laura Levine explains. This comes days after Alicia Watts' autopsy was revealed.
Office here in Raleigh released that autopsy report for Alicia Watts. The report states that Watts' body and cause of death was undetermined because her body was so decomposed after being discovered in the woods. So what's happening today is with the new and latest developments today in court, the attorney for James Dunmore, who is accused of murdering his ex-girlfriend, is expected to ask for his release. Dunmore's defense argues that since there was no clear cause of death, prosecutors cannot meet their burden of proof against Dunmore. Dunmore's attorney has asked the court to change his $1 million secured bond to unsecured so Dunmore can wait for trial outside of prison. Alicia Watts was reported missing back in July. Her body was found more than a month later on August 24th, about 20 minutes away from her home in Foxfire in Moore County. Her remains were found in the woods behind a cemetery along a back road leading to her house. WRL will continue to follow what happens in court today and keep you updated. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
That was the moment NC State players and fans at Sports and Social in Cary learned who the Wolfpack will play to kick off the NCAA tournament. NC State will tip off with Texas Tech in the first round on Thursday. The team was greeted by cheering fans at their Selection Sunday watch party. Guard DJ Horn grew up in Raleigh, and now he gets to add NC State to his basketball history.
Know that when I go into PNC next and I see that 2024 ACC champion banner up there, man, it's going to really hit me just like, wow, all this for this right here.
This is our big Jimmy V season and stuff like that. Like, getting to experience this, like being a student here is unreal. I'm just really happy I got to see it.
I think a lot of people are happy they got to see that. State fans have watched their team's incredible rise through the ACC tournament to reach this point. Duke and UNC are also advancing to the men's tournament. And coming up in 10 minutes, a look at the women's tournament brackets.
Today, Durham City Council will vote on partnering with Fayetteville to make sure all 911 calls are answered. Right now, Durham has an informal emergency backup relationship with the Raleigh-Wake Emergency Communications Center. Calls that went unanswered to Durham Emergency Communications would go to Wake County. Durham now wants to switch to a formal partnership with Fayetteville. Council members there are voting on the potential change during today's City Council meeting.
New this morning, as Secretary of State Antony Blinken visits South Korea today, North Korea fired missiles into the sea. Blinken is in Seoul for a conference on advancing democracy. South Korea's military says multiple short-range missiles were fired from an area near the North's capital. The State Department condemned the missile launches and called on North Korea to engage in diplomacy and dialogue. The missile launches come days after South Korea and the U.S. wrapped up large-scale joint military drills.
Today, applications opened for the Durham Public Schools Elementary After School Program lottery. Now, school leaders say this lottery will make enrollment more fair as the district faces high demand and staffing shortages. You can apply online through April 19th. You can also find more details on the DPS website.
Filing your taxes can sometimes be confusing. You can get free help from Tax Pros On Call. Five on Your Side has partnered with the North Carolina Society of Enrolled Agents for a call event this Tuesday. Federally licensed tax professionals are volunteering their time to take your calls and answer your questions. Call in Tuesday from 4 to 7 p.m. and tune into WREL for reports on tax changes, any scams, and other resources available in our community.
A mountain biker attacked by a cougar on a trail in Washington State escapes with her life. How her friends helped save her from that animal's grasp.
And NC State cut down the net at the ACC tournament, but they are not the only local team going to the big dance. We'll break down all the first round matchups for our teams in the men's and women's tournaments.
And after 73 for the high yesterday, turning much cooler today. We'll see temperatures this afternoon in the upper 50s. And we have a freeze warning in effect for a few counties overnight tonight. I'll show you what it will feel like tomorrow morning where you are.
Welcome back on your Monday morning. A beautiful look over North Hills. A couple clouds in the sky. It is chilly out there, much chillier than what we've seen over the past couple of days. You're watching WREL News, available on YouTube TV and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. This weekend was just gorgeous. You could sit outside with no jacket. Today it's going to be a little chillier.
It is. It's a nice mild start this morning. We do have a cold front that slipped eastward overnight last night, and that's opened the door to some colder air filtering in, but it's going to take its time getting here. You will really notice it around midday into the afternoon as our temperatures just don't climb very much because of that northerly flow. But we'll see partly cloudy skies. We do have some rain in the forecast for tonight. It'll be just patchy and light, but expect it. At lunchtime, we're fairly cloudy. We'll see some clouds on and off through the afternoon. Futurecast wants to fire up a teeny little sprinkle around lunchtime, but it's more likely that we would see some light patchy rain starting around 8 o'clock and moving out by midnight. Very little really showing up in the rain gauges from that. And then once that clears out, then the temperatures are really going to drop on down into the low to mid 30s across the region with clear skies. And then we're going to see some warming temperatures as we get into Wednesday. We jump ahead to Friday, and we're looking at the potential for some rain to roll in. This is lunchtime on Friday. Slowly that rain moves in for the late afternoon and evening. And then this is a slower version of Futurecast. It keeps the rain in on Saturday. So this is going to be more of a worst case scenario for the weekend. Our other version of Futurecast moves that rain right on out of here for Saturday. So if you have weekend plans, and I know, you know, most of us do, keep checking back and we'll see which model ends up taking control of the situation. We do have a 50% chance of rain on Friday. A lot of that's going to be fairly late in the day and in our southern counties. And then how much rain on Friday? Well, again, that's going to depend on how slowly the system moves. If it moves on out Saturday, of course, we'll see less rain. But most likely, it's not showing up there, most likely a half an inch to an inch of rain. Taking a look outside right now, we have variably cloudy skies, partly cloudy there in Goldsboro, mostly cloudy in Apex and Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course, our newsroom right there in Fayetteville. We do have the freeze warning in effect for Lee and Moore counties. We're likely to have some freezing temperatures in our northern counties, but the growing season hasn't begun there, and I'm going to explain what we mean by that coming up in just a little while. But take a look at the temperatures. Tonight, 32 in Lewisburg, 31 South Hill and Roanoke Rapids, 30 in Roxborough and Clarksville, 31 in Siler City, 31 in Sanford, 33 Southern Pines. But then from Raleigh south and east, temperatures will be in the mid-30s, and so maybe a little patchy frost, but not expecting a hard freeze. Tomorrow, the first day of spring, we'll see a high of 57, so it'll be the coolest day of the week, but we're above freezing for the remainder of this week. And of course, we'll be watching the weekend closely for our chances for rain. Eric?
Elizabeth, we're continuing to follow the impacts of a crash happened more than an hour ago over here on I-87 at New Hope Road. You can see sensors are at this point showing that that crash has cleared, but the backups it caused, those are still going to be a significant issue if you're coming in from Wendell, Knightdale, Zebulon, and all of those points east. You can see this is about 5 miles back down that road there. That congestion definitely having an impact. We also have Sky 5 live up over this scene here. I want to send you out there, give you an idea what we're seeing from that vantage point. Things looking a little bit, let's see, we may not have Sky 5. We'll circle back with them here in just a second. In terms of what this is going to mean for your drive times here this morning, taking a look, only about a 14-minute delay if you're coming in from Knightdale. That is much improved from where we were even a few minutes ago. But again, 14 minutes as you're coming in right now. Likely your best bet is just to stay there on 87, deal with that traffic, build that into your morning commute as we're seeing a lot of those delays across the eastern part of our viewing area. Of course, we'll stay on top of this situation, bringing you details as we get them.
Thanks, Erica. A volcano in Iceland erupted over the weekend. It's the fourth time in a few months this has happened. You can see the lava flow happening there that opened a 2-mile-long crack in the earth. Hundreds of people were forced to evacuate from the nearby Blue Lagoon Thermal Spa. It's one of Iceland's top tourist attractions. So far, no flights are being disrupted by the volcanic ash. No deaths have been reported either, but a workman is missing after falling into a crack created by the volcano.
A person is dead and another in the hospital after a small plane crashed in Arizona. The National Transportation Safety Board describes the plane as an experiment amateur-built air creation twin aircraft. It went down with two people on board Sunday morning about an hour southwest of Phoenix. The sheriff's office there says the person who was hurt was airlifted to a hospital with serious injuries.
Here's a wild one. A woman in Washington, in the state of Washington anyway, survived a cougar attack recently, and she's sharing her story now.
Yeah, Julie Calhoun shares her story of survival and friendship.
They're amazing.
Carrie, Annie, and Tish are competitive cyclists and have been riding together for at least 5 years. But on February 17th, a ride would turn into a fight for Carrie's life.
And the attack just happened so fast.
A group of five women started riding from Tish's home in North Bend and made it to Cocoa Creek Trail near Snoqualmie. Then 19 miles into their ride, two cougars ran out from the brush. One kept going into the woods, the other lunged at Carrie.
From the time we saw the cougars to the time it took Carrie off her bike was about 3 seconds.
1 second, I'll say.
So we didn't have a chance to face off with them to scare them away or anything.
I just remember getting tackled from this side and then ending up at the other side of the road.
I immediately tried to choke the cougar, which was like choking a rock.
The women used sticks and a large rock to try to get the cougar off Carrie, but it had her face clenched in its jaw.
I knew every second what was going on, and I was doing my own, you know, poking at it and trying to poke his eyeballs out and get up his nose and pry his mouth with my hand.
15 minutes into the battle, a small moment of release, and Carrie was able to get away. The group managed to get a bike on top of the cougar and hold it down until help arrived.
You know, Carrie's just laying there by herself, and we just kept saying, are you doing okay? And she would just give us a little bloody thumbs up that she was doing okay.
A Fish and Wildlife officer got there and shot and killed the young cougar. Carrie suffered severe damage to her face and permanent nerve damage, but says thanks to her friends, she made it out alive.
I think it's the epitome of true friendship and love is action.
I know for a fact I would be dead if they didn't come back in. I would just be gone.
We just did what we had to do, and part of it was just primal instinct. Just get in there and fight.
Mama
fight
bears.
For a life.
So yeah, the cougar wasn't going to take us cougars down.
My goodness, she is so lucky. That was Julie Calhoun reporting.
Authorities in western New York have seized an 11-foot alligator from a man who was keeping it at his home illegally. Albert's right there on the floor weighs 750 pounds. Authorities in suburban Buffalo found him in a home, and his owner says Albert is like family to him. He had a license to own the 30-year-old alligator, but it expired a couple years ago, and his request to renew it was denied, so officers took that alligator. A licensed caretaker is now looking after Albert.
Three Tobacco Road teams are getting ready for their first-round matchups in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. North Carolina is a number one seed. The Tar Heels will play Thursday in Charlotte against the winner of the play-in game between Howard University and Wagner College. The Duke Blue Devils are seeded fourth in the South region. Duke will play Friday night in Brooklyn against Vermont. And coming off their improbable and their historic ACC tournament win, NC State scored an 11th seed in that tournament. The Wolfpack will play Thursday night against Texas Tech in the first round in Pittsburgh.
Also, we have three local teams, same ones, in this year's NCAA women's basketball tournament. UNC an 8 seed in that, Duke a 7 seed, NC State the 3 seed. NC State will host first and second round games at Reynolds Coliseum. They'll host Chattanooga on Saturday afternoon, and the winner of that game will play the winner of the game between Tennessee and Green Bay. And Duke will be playing in Columbus, Ohio in the first round against Richmond. If Duke wins, they will likely play Ohio State. Tough second round matchup. Tar Heels will play Michigan State in the first round in Columbia, South Carolina. And then think about that location. If UNC gets the win, they will likely play undefeated South Carolina in the second round. So tough ones there. WRL Interactive NCAA Bracket has a breakdown of every team and every game in March Madness. You can check it before you make your picks. It is time to do that. Search Bracket on WRL.com.
It's getting easier for basketball fans to get in on the madness of this year's college tournaments. Last week, North Carolina became the newest state to allow betting on phones and computers. People in 38 states and Washington, D.C. can now legally bet on sports. The number of states allowing sports bets has risen each year since 2018, when the Supreme Court allowed for expansion outside of Nevada. The American Gaming Association estimates that $2.7 billion will be spent through legal sports books during March Madness. Coming up, Durham Public Schools have a new way for parents to enroll their child in after-school care. Why parents are not happy with the new sign-up process.
And Johnston County deputies spent several hours at a crime scene in Wilson's Mills. We'll let you know about that investigation.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning. Happy Monday. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We are going to start with weather meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking a cold front that's slowly moving into the area.
Yeah, we're going to see the cold air really spilling in today, and it's going to feel much colder than it did yesterday, about 15 degrees colder this afternoon. Looking at variably cloudy skies now, so we have a live look at Apex this morning. It's on the mild side, but the colder air will be filtering in today. So 50 in Lewisburg, 56 in Fayetteville, 48 South Hill, 59 in Goldsboro, 57 in Rocky Mount. Temperatures will probably feel right about like this through the afternoon. We do have a freeze warning in effect for Lee and Mora counties overnight tonight. We're also likely to see some freezing temperatures in our northern counties, 31 in Roxboro and South Hill, 33 Durham and 33 in Southern Pines. But in our eastern counties, looking at mid-30s. Dog walking forecasts right now, temperatures are in the 50s, and that's the way it will stay through the afternoon. It will be a little breezy with a chance of some light showers tonight. Eric?
Elizabeth, some good news for folks if you're coming in from Wendell, Knightdale, Zebulon. We've seen some significant clearing here in the last couple of minutes that was caused by that wreck that we had earlier on I-87. You can see still some pretty significant backups here as we take a live look outside here. This is going to be I-87 at mile marker 5. You see traffic not exactly flowing well, but again, much better than it was earlier. Looking at those drive times coming in here, it's just going to be a couple of minute delays if you're coming in from the west or the south, but that delay from Knightdale sitting at about 10 minutes, about the same story if you're coming in for Wake Forest.
Eric, attorneys for James Dunmore, the man charged with killing Alicia Watts, are calling for his release. They want the court to make his $1 million bond unsecured, meaning he could be let out of jail before his trial. This comes days after Watts' autopsy release was released, listing her cause of death as undetermined. We'll have more news, weather, and traffic on Fox 50.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A cold front moved through overnight, and now the gates are open for some colder air to move in. I'll show you how chilly it will feel this time tomorrow.
And the attorneys for the man accused of killing Alicia Watts are calling for his release. The move they're taking today, days after an autopsy, could not determine her cause of death. Starting today, parents of elementary schoolers in Durham will have the chance to sign their students up for an after-school care program. Just ahead, why every child won't be guaranteed a spot.
8:30 is the time right now on your Monday. We had that big selection Sunday yesterday. Yeah. Well represented in the triangle. And now it's time to look at the brackets on your Monday and watch us for news. Thanks for being here. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, weather-wise, not too bad. You can feel the chill in the air this morning for sure.
Yeah.
It's only going to continue, too. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, we're talking a freeze warning for tomorrow.
Yeah, big deal compared to what we've seen at least over the last few days. So it's Lee and Moore counties that in the freeze warning. We will see some freezing temperatures in our northern counties, but the growing season hasn't begun there. So that means the Weather Service won't be issuing those warnings until next week when the growing season begins there. And we're not likely to see freezing temperatures in our eastern counties. And so it's just these two that are under the warning, even though we're going to see freezing temperatures in other places, in Roxboro and South Hill, 31, Durham, 33 for tonight, and Southern Pines, 33, Sanford likely to be around 31. In our eastern counties in the mid-30s, I'm going to explain the growing season in a little more detail. Coming coming up at about 8:45. Take a live look at Wake Forest. More clouds and sunshine right now, but our temperatures don't feel too cold. Currently 53 degrees, and we'll hold right about here and then creep up into the upper 50s this afternoon. It's a little colder near the Virginia line, 45 in Roxborough, 48 up in South Hill, but 57 in Rocky Mount, 52 in Southern Pines, and 55 right now in Clinton. A little breezy today with that northerly wind gusting 15 to almost 20 miles per hour. That's going to make it feel really chilly, and that will be effective at dragging that cold air down from the north. We'll see variably cloudy skies for today. Some overcast periods, a little sunshine peeking out from time to time. And then around 8 o'clock, we'll see a weak disturbance that comes rolling through, and that's going to bring us the potential for just a few isolated showers, nothing terribly heavy, and then it's out of here. After that rain moves out, then the temperatures drop, so no frozen precipitation for us, but we'll clear out and really cool off by early tomorrow morning. This is a look at the rest of the day today as we hold it right here in the 50s, about 15 degrees cooler than what we saw yesterday. We do have some showers potentially for parts of the weekend. We'll take a close look at that too coming up. Eric?
Elizabeth, the biggest headache for folks on the road this morning is still going to be coming in from Knightdale, Wendell, Zebulon, that I-87 region. As we zoom in here, you can see the delays left over by a crash happened more than an hour ago at this point, but still a lot of red and a lot of yellow on this map. Taking a live look outside right now, I-87, mile marker 5, about 5 miles from that New Hope Road interchange. You can see things moving a lot more smoothly than they were earlier, but this is still leading to some delays. As we take a look at those drive times, you can see things, again, looking better than they were. About 10 minutes at this point delayed if you're coming in from Knightdale, similar to what we're looking at for Wake Forest. Otherwise, looking good to go around the Raleigh region. Taking a look over in Durham now as well. Similar story there. Just a couple of minute delays all the way around. 885, seeing some of those normal morning backups. Otherwise, good to go for your morning commute.
I'm Nick Perlin in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker in Johnston County, where deputies blocked off this stretch of Bear Oak Drive in Smithfield to investigate a crime at this home. Deputies tell me they have been here since around 9:30 last night. Investigators used cameras to snap pictures of the scene. EMS and firefighters are also helping with the investigation. We're working to learn more from the Johnston County Sheriff's Office about what happened here. When we have that information, we will pass it along. In the WRAL Breaking News Tracker, I'm Nick Perlin, reporting in Johnston County.
And breaking news this morning, a woman is out of her home after a fire in Fayetteville earlier this morning. The fire broke out on Higgins Street just before 2:30 this morning. The woman who lives there was able to get out safely. Crews were able to get the fire under control. The Red Cross is helping that woman.
Happening today, prominent civil rights attorney Ben Crump will be in Raleigh to file a wrongful death lawsuit on behalf of the family of Darryl Williams. Police used a taser on Williams outside a Raleigh sweepstakes parlor last January. His cause of death is listed as sudden cardiac arrest. Williams yelled to police that he had a heart condition, and a taser was used against him again after that. The autopsy also lists cocaine intoxication, physical exertion, and the use of a taser as factors in his death. Six officers were put on administrative leave. None has faced charges in this. The lawsuit names as defendants in this case the city of Raleigh, the chief of Raleigh police, and the officers involved in Williams' death.
The attorneys for the man accused of killing Alicia Watts will call for his release today. They say there is not enough evidence for James Dunmore to stay in jail. As WRAL's Laura Levine explains, this comes days after Alicia Watts' autopsy was released.
It was just a few days ago when the state's medical examiner's office here in Raleigh released that autopsy report for Alicia Watts. The report states that Watts' body and cause of death was undetermined because her body was so decomposed after being discovered in the woods. So what's happening today is, with the new and latest developments, today in court, the attorney for James Dunmore, who is accused of murdering his ex-girlfriend, is expected to ask for his release. Dunmore's defense argues that since there was no clear cause of death, prosecutors cannot meet their burden of proof against Dunmore. Dunmore's attorney has asked the court to change his $1 million secured bond to unsecured so Dunmore can wait for trial outside of prison. Alicia Watts was reported missing back in July. Her body was found more than a month later on August 24th, about 20 minutes away from her home in Foxfire in Moore County. Her remains were found in the woods behind a cemetery along a back road leading to her house. WRAL will continue to follow what happens in court today and keep you updated. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Raleigh.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, an Apex man charged with secret peeping last month has a scheduled court hearing this morning. 50-year-old Kelly Sean Jones is charged with taking pictures of a 16-year-old girl while she was in a changing room at a Little Details Women's Boutique in Garner. The girl says she caught Jones taking her picture and told her mom, who confronted Jones after he came out of a nearby fitting room. Now, this morning's disposition hearing is scheduled for 9 a.m. We'll, of course, keep you updated.
Ken, it's time to start filling out your bracket. That was the moment NC State players and fans at Sports Social and Cary Sports and Social learned who the Wolfpack will play to kick off the NCAA tournament. NC State will be an 11th seed and will play Texas Tech in the first round on Thursday. The team was greeted by cheering fans at their Selection Sunday watch party. They have watched the Wolfpack's incredible rise through the ACC tournament.
I'm excited for Thursday.
Absolutely. We will be watching in full gear, all decked out.
Yes. Yes.
And coming up at 8:30, we will, or 9 o'clock, we'll take a look at who all of our local teams will be playing in the first round of the tournament.
Today, enrollment for an after-school program begins for Durham Elementary School students. This year, the program will use a lottery system to fill the open slots. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains not all parents are happy about this new sign-up system.
This is going to impact working parents the most. The staff here at the Durham Public Schools Central Services Building will be taking those applications starting today. And if parents sign their student up, their spot won't be guaranteed. The district says there are two factors at play here, staffing and higher demand. Right now, there are more than 1,600 slots in the elementary aftercare program, but there's 15 staff vacancies and nearly 300 students on the wait list. The lottery comes just weeks after classes were canceled for several days due to employee pay issues. This brings up a lot of concerns for parents, especially those who have multiple students, because there's a possibility that one student may be able to get in and their other children won't. That lottery application will close April 5th. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Durham. Tonight, Durham City leaders will consider asking for $5 million to begin cleaning up lead-contaminated soil at several parks in that city. Mayor Leonardo Williams said the topic will be a significant focus during their budget meeting. Residents believe the $5 million request is a good start, but only a start.
Hope that this money allows for some beginning work in that area, but also that more detailed plans are given and options presented so that residents can respond accordingly with what we think would be the best path forward.
And the city has also requested the Durham County Department of Public Health provide additional blood lead testing, which the department ended in October of last year. City leaders will meet tonight at 7.
Tonight's another chance to just become filthy rich. The big Powerball jackpot tonight stands at $645 million. No one won the grand prize Saturday, and it is not the only huge lottery prize out there. The Mega Millions jackpot is estimated at $875 million. That's for Tuesday night's drawing. You can watch both drawings live on WRAL at 11 p.m.
Just ahead, Celine Dion is providing an update on her health condition, how she says she's managing her battle with stiff person syndrome.
And move over, Dunn Kings. It's the Dunn Queens that are running Massachusetts now. And coming up, the unusual outfit the governor of Massachusetts wore to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
We're going to take you live out to Wilson this morning. It's growing chillier. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner will tell us when we can expect those temperatures to get below 40.
.844 is the time right now on your Monday morning. We have some clouds in some areas, but not so much in Chapel Hill. Carolina blue skies there. Tar Heels number one seed on Selection Sunday. So a lot of fun headed this week for basketball, and Elizabeth Gardner over in the WRL Severe Weather Center. We're going to have a cool down so folks can watch basketball inside.
Yes, I know a lot of folks are tempted to watch it outside over the weekend because, man, it was so pretty. But, you know, it is normal for us to see some big changes this time of year as we're moving from winter to summer. And so we're kind of a little summer over the weekend and back to winter the next couple of days. A live look at Wake Forest shows variably cloudy skies, a little bit of blue trying to peek through, some cloud cover as well. 53 is our current temperature in the triangle. Our dew point's 26, so it's a fairly dry air mass. Gradually, we'll see the temperatures climbing into the upper 50s this afternoon. And we started early this morning in the 60s. So kind of, you know, from here down to here and then back up again later on this afternoon. It's 45 in Roxborough, but we just warmed up to 50 in South Hill. It's 52 in Southern Pines, 56 Fayetteville. So mostly we're seeing temperatures in the 50s at the moment, mainly mid to upper 50s. Expect 58 mid to late afternoon in Raleigh, 56 in Durham and 60 in Fayetteville with a mix of sun and clouds. We do have that freeze warning for tonight for Lee County and Moore County. Lows here are likely to be in the low 30s. We'll also likely have lows in the low 30s in our northern counties. But here's the difference. The growing season began yesterday in our southern county. So once the growing season starts, there's an assumption that there could be some tender vegetation. And so the Weather Service will be issuing any freeze watches, warnings, that sort of thing in our southern counties this week. Next Sunday, the growing season begins on March 24th. So that's next Sunday. And so at that point, anytime next week, we see freezing temperatures in our northern counties, they'll go into those same watches and warnings. So it's a little bit confusing in this transition as we move into the season at which we have freezing temperatures, but may have some tender vegetation. 30 in Clarksville, 31 tonight in South Hill, 31 in Roanoke Rapids, 32 in Lewisburg. This is what we'll see tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. 31 in Siler City, but 34 in Raleigh, 33 in Southern Pines, 31 in Sanford, but mid-30s in some of our southeastern counties. Our normal low is 40, so these temperatures in the 30s are a bit below normal. And then we're looking at normal temperatures Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning, a little warmer on Saturday morning. Our chance for rain today won't start until around 8 o'clock. We're looking at just some patchy light rain moving through from, say, 8 to midnight or so. Not much showing up in the rain gauges. Every little bit will help the pine pollen that just began. I think Friday was the first time we really started to see a good coating of that pine pollen. Oak and elm also are high in that pollen count as well. So tomorrow's the first day of spring. It'll be the coolest day of the week in terms of our highs at 57. We bounce to 70 on Wednesday, and then we settle into normal highs and normal lows. Of course, earlier we talked about that potential for some rain. It may be that we see it late Friday into very early Saturday, and the rest of the weekend looks dry, but the models are not all on board with that, so keep checking back.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Vladimir Putin is celebrating what appears to be a huge victory in Russia's election. Putin is currently projected to win nearly 90% of the vote, giving him another 6 years in control. Elections in Russia are not considered free or fair by international overseers, so the outcome was never really in doubt. There were signs of opposition, though, over the weekend. Molotov cocktails were thrown at polling locations. Protesters, some wearing Alexei Navalny T-shirts, poured dye in ballot boxes. Navalny's widow, Yulia, joined a protest in Berlin.
There could be no any negotiations and nothing with Mr. Putin because he is a killer, he is a gangster.
Similar protests were staged at Russian embassies across Europe with large crowds gathering at noon in London, Paris and elsewhere. Yesterday, Putin referenced Navalny by name for the first time in years at a news conference. He said he was informed of an idea to release the opposition leader from prison days before his death. Putin said he agreed to the idea on condition that Navalny didn't return to Russia.
Dozens of U.S. citizens are in Miami this morning after fleeing the spiraling gang violence in Haiti. A charter flight carrying more than 30 people landed in Florida yesterday. This comes as the U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince urges citizens to leave the island nation as soon as possible. Haiti's main airport remains closed following gang attacks in recent weeks. The State Department announced on Saturday that it would offer limited charter flights for American citizens from the less chaotic northern city. And officials say Americans should only consider the charter flights if they can make it to the airport safely on their own.
A bank card belonging to University of Missouri student Riley Strain has been found near a river in Nashville, Tennessee. Two women found that card yesterday afternoon on a bank by the Cumberland River. The women who heard about the search for Strain say they climbed down that riverbank and were sorting through trash when they found his bank card. Strain was visiting Nashville March 8th when he disappeared after being kicked out of a bar. He and his fraternity brothers were in the area for a formal. Investigators have not said what the bank card means in their search.
Celine Dion is updating fans about her current health condition. The singer revealed her battle with stiff person syndrome in 2022. It's a rare neurological condition that triggers spasms and muscle rigidity. Last Friday marked Stiff Person Syndrome Awareness Day, and Dion posted a message on her Instagram about her personal fight. She said that battling the condition has, quote, been one of the hardest experiences of my life. However, she hopes to grace the stage again one day and live a normal life.
Another streaming platform is cracking down on password sharing. Hulu joins Netflix now in a new policy, keeping people who don't live in the same household from using the same account. The company sent an email out in January warning users that the new policy would begin in March. Disney Plus is also planning to introduce a new password sharing policy this summer. Max says it'll roll out a new policy next year.
In entertainment news, two movies are putting up some impressive numbers, and one of them is not even out yet. Here's David Daniel with today's Hollywood Minute.
Believe in Paul.
Litter science.
Dune Part 2 has grossed nearly $500 million worldwide in just 10 days, more than its predecessor made in its entire theatrical run. Of course, the first film came out in 2021 during the COVID-19 pandemic, and it was released simultaneously on streaming, reducing ticket sales.
What is that song?
It's nothing, really.
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm too old for you.
I don't know.
The idea of you is a record setter. Deadline reports the trailer for the intergenerational romance starring Anne Hathaway and Nicholas Galitzine has been viewed 125 million times on social media platforms, making it the most watched trailer of any original streaming movie, according to online data analysis firm Wavemetrics. The idea of you premieres May 2nd on Prime Video. In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
It was another big box office weekend for Kung Fu Panda 4. The animated adventure took top spot for the second weekend in a row. It brought in $30 million. It beat out Dune 2, which held steady at number 2 with just a little over $29 million. And Mark Wahlberg's new movie, Arthur the King, debuted at 3rd, $7.5 million.
The battle rounds on The Voice begin tonight, and Tay Lewis from Goldsboro is taking stage. We told you how the local singer grabbed Reba McEntire and John Legend's attention during his first performance, ultimately choosing Reba. Lewis shared this photo to Instagram to get his fans excited for the episode, and he shared that he is partnering up with teammate L. Rogers for tonight's performance. You can watch The Voice tonight at 8 o'clock on WREO.
Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey marked St. Patrick's Day in a unique way. You know, instead of the traditional wearing of the green during the annual St. Patrick's Day breakfast in Boston, Healey donned a different outfit.
She and Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll dressed in Dunkin' tracksuits, the ones made famous during that Dunkin' Super Bowl ad for Dunkin' Donuts.
To Matt, to Tom, just reminding everybody, now Massachusetts runs on Dunk Queen.
Healey and Driscoll handed out Dunkin' Donuts munchkins to the crowd that had gathered for the holiday breakfast. My Boston born and raised boyfriend wants one of those tracksuits. You cannot find it anywhere. I have looked, I have searched. You can't find it.
No.
They're so popular.
You need to keep looking. When they first came out, they were selling for like $49 or something like that.
Now they're probably $449 when you find
You should
find
get
one.
Dunkin's, Dunk Queens, and that could be your Halloween. I'll take care of this.
We're going to do it.
Headed off to break with the winning lottery numbers for you, and we'll get another check on weather and traffic up next.